It's the Rick Emerson radio program. I'm never going to get tired of that. It's 503-733-2970. I broke my coffee cup.
I remember Friday afternoon.
My coffee mug that Aaron Geek in the city Duran got me from the L.A. County Coroner's Office, which I love. I broke the handle and I saved all the pieces, but apparently, well, there's two bits of bad news. One is that I can't reassemble the handle because it's missing. I thought I got all the pieces, but I missed one. So the other thing is that there's a razor sharp piece of ceramic in the studio somewhere on the floor. So be careful with that. And so now I'm back to drinking out of this ass the styrofoam cup, which is, makes me feel trashy.
Maybe you should be more responsible with your cups.
I'm sorry. It was a mistake. I dropped it. And so I can't even tell how much coffee I'm drinking every day. All right. In just a few minutes, we'll talk to CNN radio correspondent James Roop, who's in Los Angeles. Oh, and then we got to get to Brittany Watch. We can't tease the people anymore. We'll do the Brittany
Watch.
Don't
look it up in between now and then.
Yeah, don't.
You want to hear it.
Jeff McGinley cornered me and said, what is it? I can't wait. I'm like, you'll wait, friend. You'll wait like everyone else does, Jeff McGinley. So we got a Brittany Watch, which is fantastic. It may, in fact, be the best news story in the history of everything. It might even be better than this.
I don't feel no way tired.
Because we don't have audio.
I come too far.
Yeah, I wish we did.
From where I started from.
Oh, warms the cockles of my heart. Pam, you're on the Rick Hagan Bammer Show.
Hey, Rick. How you doing?
What's up, Pam?
Well, Hillary was saying this in Kentucky in a black church.
Yes.
Now, as a black person all my life, I've been a black person. Black churches are very interesting places to be. I mean, they will not tell you you cannot sing. They will not tell you what you're saying is awfully stupid. They will clap for anything, and then they will go home and talk about you.
Is that why they're giving her? Because the thing about when she's talking here in this like this ridiculous accent is that like she's doing it, and they're just eating it up. And so you're saying that they're trying to be polite.
Oh, I mean, as soon as she was out of the room, they were just laughing and carrying it out. It's like American Idol. You see those girls, you know, the girls and guys get on the show, you know, from the Texas and places in the South. And they swear they can sing. Oh, my mama told me I can sing. I was in the church. They told me I could sing. Well, they did. Because people are being nice and, you know, they'll go home and laugh at you.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, so at least as long as I know that this isn't really fooling anybody.
No, it isn't.
This accent of Hillary's. All right, excellent. And she really does sound like some sort of a lost extra from Forrest Gump. I mean, it really is just woeful.
Not only that, she sounds like she's like scraping nails on a chalkboard. You know what I mean?
Well, she's got a very, very shrill and unpleasant voice to begin with. In fact, I came in this morning and I asked him, I said, hey, do you have this sound where Hillary's talking, trying to put on this fake Southern accent? And Tim said, no, I only have the sound clips where she's being shrill and unlikable. I mean, she, like, the raw material that she has to work with vocally is awful. And so it's like, regardless of the accent, it's just going to be like somebody hammering nails into your soul.
I think somebody set her up, basically, and told her to read this Negro spiritual and to put on that accent.
Seriously. No, they'll love it, Hillary. You come on. Take my word for it.
It was probably the Obama people that told her to do it.
Probably. All right, excellent. Thank you, Pam.
Take care. Bye.
There you go. That's Pam. There you go, Pam. Let's do one more, and then we'll talk to Jim Roop. Brian, hello, sir.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, great show today, by the way.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Hey, I got to tell you that Geraldo's on at 2:30 on Channel 23.
What is Channel 23?
I don't know. I just thought it would irritate you. Oh, anyway.
I see. It's a, wait, hold on.
Clyde Lewis is back.
No, hold on. Did Clyde seem crazy to you?
No. He does sound like he's probably pumped up a pretty good cold medicine.
Here's the thing about Clyde. I'm not saying Clyde doesn't. Clyde seemed very testy, for those who know what I'm talking about. Clyde, in my assessment, and I think, to be fair, if we were to pull the room, I wouldn't be alone on that.
I think you were a little overly sensitive about it, though.
He
was kind of crazy, but I think you're a little. You're a little sensitive today.
I'm not. Is this because I whistled this morning? Is that it? You're still like pissed off because I was whistling?
I'm not pissed.
All right. I'm just saying, he started going on about how the number 23, and I do what I always do, which is to kind of go, because Clyde knows I'm a skeptic. Clyde knows I'm a non-believer. I don't believe in any of the, I don't believe in any of the supernatural hogwash and whatever, and that's fine. But the Clyde's known me for almost 15 years. That's the case. And, Anyway, so, but Clyde was just like, you shut up. I got to tell you, it's important. And it's like, Clyde most of the time delivers, not that he doesn't believe what he says, but Clyde most of the time delivers it with sort of a wink and a nod. In other words, Clyde simultaneously believes, but at the same time, he knows that it can kind of sound a little ridiculous and that, you know, at the end of the day, you take it or leave it and it can seem kind of silly even if you really believe it. There was no trace of that Clyde today. Today it was just like, no, this is important information that people have to know. We're all going to be killed by giant scorpions when the apocalypse comes. And I was just like, okay, you know, trying to keep the show entertaining. And meanwhile, Clyde is like, you know, Clyde was going a little crazy on us. So, all right, well, whatever. All right, thank you, sir.
Yeah, you're welcome. Got it.
All right, yeah. Let's see with the that's for your 23. I don't believe. I don't want your life. No one has sent me that.
I have been looking everywhere.
Somebody sent me the other Varsity Blues sounder, and then we'll take Jim Roop, which is this. Let me see. I hope this is clean.
Good ball. This play is for you. All right? Puyo's going to pitch you the ball.
Oh, no. Oh, no, what? Just catch the ball. Look, a ball. Ooh, I'm going to catch it, you big dummy. That's all.
Yeah, that's not really the same. That's not really what Hillary's
that's
doing.
That's something.
There. It's something, at least. It's not, I don't want your life. Which is, that's hilarious. I don't know why that's so funny to me. It's even funnier, I think, when I do it.
Because you're so hilarious.
Because I'm a comedy machine. It's like that whole, you know, love, language of love. There's just certain movie phrases that are just even, that you just latch onto.
They're even funnier in the voice of Rick Emerson.
Even funnier when I do them. We should just do top five things that are funnier when Rick Emerson does them.
Oh, good.
Ladies
Lord.
And gentlemen, let's welcome him now. From the Rick Emerson Show, God bless him, Jim Roop. Hello, sir.
Good afternoon.
Hi, how's your life, brother? How are things?
Life is good. You know, I got Rudy Giuliani, the governor, all together with law enforcement.
You sound tired. You sound tired. Has it been a long day? You sound a little worn out.
It's been a very long day, yes.
What time did you get up this morning?
3:30.
God damn. What time do you go to bed?
11:30, 12 o'clock.
See, you and I, you're a man after my own heart. I go to bed.
I'm not a good sleeper. I don't sleep well.
I don't sleep well. I count an insomniac. And fortunately, I can get by on very little sleep. So I'll go to bed at like 1 and I'll get up around 6:30. You know, which is not, I mean, it's not like I'm getting my 3 hours of sleep. But I'll get around. But it takes me, like, do you do this? And I think Sarah probably does this too. I don't even have to ask. Where you go to bed and you just stay there and your brain won't spin down. You're sitting there staring at him and go, come on, go to sleep. And your brain is just sitting there racing like a computer drive. It's not like I'm some genius, but it's just that I can't quit thinking about stuff.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
Boy,
there's so much stuff to get done in my brain that I can't get it all done during the day.
Yeah, I really have been thinking strongly about acquiring a drinking habit. just a really serious abuse of alcohol. With every passing day, I think more and more strongly about beginning to abuse myself with strong spirits.
Well, see, the problem with me with alcohol, I'll fall asleep, but I don't stay asleep.
That's
you
like,
know, it's,
yeah.
That's the bummer with that, is that I'll pass out, but then I'm up. Right away almost.
That's my thing with if I take like legal, like sleeping medication or pills, or even like herbal stuff, like melatonin, which actually does work on me, but only in the short term. Like I'll take melatonin and it'll knock me right out, and then I'll wake up at about 4 a.m. wide awake.
Yeah.
More awake than I was when I went to sleep. Or if I take like diphenhydramine, which is, that's like Somanex or Nitol or Tylenol PM, that's a same thing. Knocks me out, and then I wake up about 4 hours later and just can't get back to sleep at all. Maybe if I started combining that with, like, whiskey. Maybe that's what I'll try. I've started to believe, actually, that maybe the answer to many of my life's problems are in the abuse of alcohol. So I'm thinking that's going to be my big spring project in my life. So...
Yep.
So if you call in,
sounds like a good project to me.
Yeah, if you just call in and I'm, you just call in, I'm not here someday. That's probably what happened. All right. So you've been following what Giuliani and Schwarzenegger around?
Yeah. They got this big gang thing going on here. You know, trying to coordinated efforts to, fight the gang problem. Like, that's really going to work.
Is it true? Now, we had this story a couple weeks ago, and we actually never got around to it. We had it, and we read the tease, and we never got around to it. But is it true that the L.A. Times is doing this thing where they are ranking in the newspaper the top 10 most feared and dangerous gangs in L.A.?
Well, but that's not the first time it's been done.
Why would you possibly do that? Doesn't it seem like the most ill-advised thing? Doesn't it seem like whoever's number two on the list is going to go out and double their killing the next day?
Well, it sells newspapers.
Yeah, I suppose, but doesn't it probably encourage gangs? I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this, because I'm the guy who always says, you know, that Marilyn Manson records don't make people kill people and whatever, but it does seem likely.
You can't compare the two, though.
I guess not. I'm just saying, if you're ranking the top 10 most feared gangs in the newspaper, it does seem like maybe whoever's not on the list is going to be motivated to try a little harder.
Right, and number two is going to be even more motivated to be number one.
Yeah,
no, you're absolutely right.
So you're right. That's not going to get fit. It is the motto. There is a motto on the Rick Emerson Show, a maxim that we live by, and that motto is nothing ever changes, nothing ever gets better. And that's kind of how we view everything. That's the prism through which we view things on the show.
And that's why we have jobs.
It's true. So is that why Giuliani's there?
No. It's just, you know, there are 720 gangs in L.A. County, 86,000 gang members. I don't know how they all count them, but. And it's just that it's getting worse. While crime overall has gone down, gang crime, including murders, is on the rise. Substantially so. So they're trying to figure out a way to attack this thing. And, you know, they've been piecemealing it. The cities would go to the Sacramento and get money for this and money for that. And the governor says, well, you know, we got to do something better than this. So let's all get together and talk about how we want to do this. So they come up with this fusion center. From and into which everything flows from resources to action plans. And Giuliani was there because, you know, he did a pretty good job of going after organized crime in the 80s in New York. So he's in on this mix just to throw in his two cents.
I have probably asked you this before, but I will ask again only because I was talking to Lisa Goddard about this, and we've been talking about Giuliani and McCain and how Giuliani is 22 points over McCain nationally, but neither of them are ever going to be president. McCain will implode. Giuliani has just got too much baggage. I know I've asked you this, but I don't remember the answer. In your assessment, does Schwarzenegger want to be president?
You know, he'll never say it out loud, but I think he would love for that law to change, for that constitutional amendment. To be amended.
That's got to be something somebody else has to do, because he can't mention that himself.
Start that. No. It'll kill any chance he possibly may have.
Right.
You know, he sticks to that line. You know, I'm happy with where I am now. I was elected to serve the people of California, and that's what I'm here to do. And, you know, but I guarantee you, if there was some sort of effort to change that amendment to the Constitution, which allows a foreign-born person to become president of the U.S., he'd be the first guy with his name on a ticket.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and I do believe, I mean, barring some huge scandal or whatever, and he's already weathered a lot of those, I do believe the guy would have he'd have a fair shot. He'd have a fair chance.
Yeah, and he'd be silly not to take that shot.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, he is the sort of, in many ways, he is kind of the embodiment of the American dream. Him and Gene Simmons. I mean, they're kind of the quintessential immigrant success stories in this country.
Yep, I think you're absolutely right.
All right, excellent, my friend. Enjoy the rest of your day and go get some sleep, brother. Good. However it is you have to induce it.
I need to do something, don't I?
Yes, you do. All right, enjoy your day. We'll talk to you soon, my brother.
All right, thank you.
There you go. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop in Los Angeles. There you go. Well, that guy just sounds exhausted. All right. Let's get one more, and then we'll do whatever it is we're doing next. Steve, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, guy. You know what? Hey,
sport.
Hey, sporty. Sparky. What are you doing, Sparky? Hey,
okay, you've got like 3 seconds to become funny.
All right, you need Clyde to get his own show, man. You need to get him on there. This guy's good.
Oh no, he's true. Clyde would be fantastic. Clyde was and is a great radio host. Absolutely.
Yep, that's all I'm calling that.
Well, okay, on that we can agree. You never really did become funny, though, so I have to put you in the penalty box for that. It's 503-733.
You're being a little mean today.
I'm not being mean at all.
A lot of days it is me today.
How have I been mean? I've been absolutely perfect.
Out of everyone in the room, who would you say?
That's not a fair question, because it's always
today.
Me. That's not a fair question, because that's always me. Except when it's you, which it often is. It's never Tim, though. It's always you or me. That's an unfair question to Tim to ask who's the prickliest.
I'm not allowed to show emotion.
Tim is a newsman. He's a newsbot. Because the answer is to who.
Maybe we should. Well, Scotty's been in the other room the whole day. Maybe we should bring him in here and see.
You just like talking to Scotty.
I do. I have a crush on him.
Oh, don't ever say that again.
No,
don't
sorry.
Ever. Don't even as a joke. Don't ever say that. Oh, that's like saying Bloody Mary in the mirror 3 times or something. Don't ever say that.
Well, then don't say that. I'm looking at him.
What for the love of... No.
Oh, but Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. Don't know what else to say except
you're not going to.
I don't even know why we're bringing him in.
Don't be all ass kissy.
Yes, because I'm gonna kiss Scotty's ass. That's exactly.
You should never say that again.
That's what I live to do. I live to lick Scotty's boots. All right. Let's welcome another Rick Emerson show, Scotty.
Scotty, get the thing to share.
Hello, sir. How you doing?
Doing great.
Are you hungover today?
Absolutely not.
When is, are you
I don't
ever,
think you should take up drinking, Rick. I mean,
you sound hungover, and you've got the sinking chair.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit in that.
Are you ever going to admit to being hungover again, or is that a thing that we've scared you out of?
No, we never totally blew it.
You're never going to acknowledge it again.
Well, Rick, I'm learning how to cope with my illness.
What, you've got typhus? What?
No, if I'm hung,
do you believe that? Do you ever?
I hate when you say hung. It
don't
say
okay,
wrong.
William. Don't say hung. Don't stop that. Just don't say that. Now, do you believe? Now, how often do you drink every night?
No.
Do you believe you have a drinking problem?
Yeah, my glass is always empty.
Okay.
Stop. No, I don't
stop.
Know.
Stop.
I don't know. I could have tendencies if I don't watch it, but no.
You
I
could have, or do you do?
I could. I mean, but the thing is, like, for instance. Went out Saturday, did some Monte Carlo bowling, drank a little bit.
Thrilling life.
And then it was actually Mrs. J's birthday yesterday. So
happy birthday, Mrs. J.
I had one drink yesterday, you know, and that was enough. I didn't even want to drink.
What is the longest number of days to your recollection that you've gone without drinking? I only ask.
Okay.
I shouldn't even say
this. I actually went 3 years one time.
Really?
Yeah.
You went 3 years when?
Probably in the 90s.
How old?
Because when I was,
you were like to be like in your 30s.
Well, no. For instance, when I was 21, I just was hitting the bars like crazy, and so you know, a couple.
When is the
two,
last
3 years
time?
After that, I slowed down because I go, this isn't. This
when is the perfect. Last time you went a week without drinking?
Well, it's been a long 6 months here at the Rick Emerson Show. So I could
so,
say that.
Okay, I'm not saying you have a problem. I am just curious.
I pray once a week, sometimes twice a week.
All right, that's not what we were going to add. I don't even know why. Sarah wanted you to come in here for something.
Oh, no, I wanted an unbiased opinion because...
Sarah's
Scotty hasn't been in here.
You said it.
Well, his last comment as you walked past me is, just be clear, I mean, you snipped at me a little
I
bit.
I didn't
see,
snip.
You are totally prickly today.
I'm not prickly.
I do think, though, on the other hand...
You're disabusing Scotty of the notion that we're Democrats. Because
yeah.
He was typing on the screen, like, you Democrats are violent, or whatever.
And okay, I'll come clean on this.
I was walking by my way to the kitchen, and
you were giving a Democratic vibe, and I had to squash
I'm in no way, in no way, nobody in this room is a Democrat.
I needed to squash it on the comment, that's all.
Just stop. Stop it.
Now, Clyde did come across as a little bit snippy, in my opinion. He's like, hold on, shut up.
That's what I'm saying. You know? Clyde was cranky today. I love Clyde. You know I love Clyde.
Yeah.
I don't need to prove how much Clyde and I are, you know, we're brothers. That's fine. I don't need to prove that. Everybody knows. I'm just saying. Because that's true, I can say this, that Clyde was being jerky. Clyde was being obnoxious. That's my only point. Isn't that right, Scotty?
Yes.
No, right. But it wasn't between you and Clyde. It was between you and me. Because you're saying that you thought that I was maybe.
I didn't say you were. I'm just saying.
I think you're being a little mean. And I know that Clyde was talking over you. And I know that he was being a little aggressive.
No, it's just, it wasn't that he was even that he was being aggressive. It's like, you know, Clyde, you know, he was not an enjoyable thing to listen to. Clyde was just like on this weird.
Taking the reins of your show type.
Yeah, he was like on this weird angry tirade about a number. Like, who gets angry at a number? Seriously, that's like being angry at a color. That's like Clyde called, I'm going to talk to you about magenta. Now, the thing that people won't tell you about magenta and turquoise. Who gets angry at a number? Just, you know, calm down, friend, and, you know.
You know what the
listen
fact?
To a Rob Zombie record and chill out.
I'm not discrediting Clyde, but have you ever noticed that every time we have him on, his story always coincides with a movie that has come out?
Yes.
Okay.
I know. And there's always a Google video about him that you can view for more information. That's like one of those guys where it's like, no matter, one of those motivational counselors, like no matter what your problem is, there's a book. He's coincidentally just written a book that can help you with all of that. So that's all. Listen, I love Clyde, but Clyde was not very fun to talk to today. And it's like, he was very off-putting. That's the only point I'm making. And Clyde can get away with that. Because we'll have him back, and we'll have him back because Clyde is, as I've always said, Clyde is probably
Clyde
the most...
Is family.
He is probably the most talented person I've ever worked with in many, many ways. But, you know, you're sitting down.
Yeah, I think I figured out how to fix this thing.
Are you planning on staying?
No, I'll leave.
Okay, thank you. All right. Are we done? Sarah, any other questions you'd like to ask Scotty?
No.
Okay, and I wasn't saying you were in a bad mood, by the way. I was just saying that you can't ask Tim, like, Tim, who's the prickly one in the room? Because it's always either going to be you or me. It's never. It's not Tim. It's probably not Scotty.
Why would I ask Tim if I thought it was Tim?
I'm just saying it's always you and I are the two. Tim just sits over there. Tim just sits over there and keeps his head down and does his job professionally. while Sarah and I are angry.
Flail about.
Seriously, Sarah and I come in like an alcoholic, couple. So, anyway. I'm just saying. All right. And I'm not even an alcoholic. See, maybe if I became an alcoholic, maybe it would sort of wash itself out. Maybe it would sort of neutralize itself. Maybe I'd be pleasant all the time then. Probably not. It's 1:30. Should we break? Hey, we're breaking. We come back. Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth, featuring the best damn Britney watch you've ever heard. See, puts a smile on your face, doesn't it? Top five after that. Later on, Peter Carlin for the Oregonian. You stay here. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. It's Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. Just put on makeup.
I put on some lipstick.
It's always kind of perplexing to me when you do that midway through the
because
show
I
for
go,
no reason.
Because I go into the bathroom and I look at myself and I look like crap. And I'm not sure if you guys are doing it for me.
No, I know
those are the lighting failures.
Yeah, that bathroom light is horrible.
Not that I blame you. It's way better than the light over the coin tower, though. The coin tower was much worse.
But I like that we're all not sharing one bathroom anymore.
Have you? That is true. Except for you use the handicap bathroom ever?
No.
I use the handicap bathroom because...
The lighting?
In fact, it's like a dungeon in there.
I don't think we have any handicapped people working here.
Do we?
We are an equal opportunity employer.
Well, except for those people. I don't mean handicapped. I mean those people. And you know who I'm talking about.
What people?
Nobody knows me.
No. We'll hire anybody except for those people.
Here at the Caucasian Broadcasting System.
The comedy there was that I wasn't
Caucasian
specified.
Broadcasting System.
the comedy was the vagueness of my remark.
It was so vague, I thought you were begging to be bailed out.
No, it was funny because I wasn't specified. I could have been talking about people who were left-handed. All right.
Well, they have one right here.
We work with a left-handed person?
Are you serious?
Uh-huh.
I wonder what Ann Coulter has to say about that.
Get the scrubbing equipment. Ladies and gentlemen.
Cleaners.
He's left-handed. Make of that what you will.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Yes, Scotty, from the left hand, that is.
Here's the latest news. From our suburb to the north, Washington State. Booey and loud jeering at high school sporting events could become illegal. Very soon, the state board that regulates high school sports is drafting guidelines to reduce negative contact by spectators.
Really?
Yeah, the board says so many fans become so loud, obnoxious, and abusive that fewer people are willing to serve as coaches and referees. The guidelines would include a ban on booing and offensive chants, but the penalties won't be too stiff. They'll be ordered to leave the game.
Offensive. I'm trying to think of... I didn't really spend a lot of time going to games once I reached like 13, 14, 15, once I was a teenager. I'm trying to think of what offensive chants there even were. Did we even have offensive chants? Maybe it's a less innocent time than it used to be. Well, I got nothing. All right, this is where? This is in Washington. All right.
It's if you keep going north past Hooters.
Oh, I know where
you come to it.
Washington.
Then you try to find a place to turn around.
Sorry, just... All right. Well, I'm not going to worry about it. Jerry, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
How are you doing, sir?
Well, I guess we'll find out.
Yes. Are you sure you have no handicapped people there?
Hold on a second. Just a second. Okay, hold on. Now, I'm going to give you a couple seconds to reflect on whether or not you want to finish this comment, okay?
Here we go.
All right, so hold on a second. Don't go anywhere. You stay right there, Jerry. I'm going to give you 10 seconds to think about this.
Okay, Jerry.
Yes, sir.
All right. Do you wish to finish your comment?
I was just jamming to the hot butter there, dude. That was, that's a nice tune.
All right.
Anyway, I just, you know, you have to make sure that you have no handicap because you never know. The handicap could just pop up anywhere at any time.
Like the Viet Cong.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Half of them are probably named Charlie. Yes.
Is there a joke here somewhere?
I don't get it.
No, there's not a joke. Actually, I was going to say something else, but I reconsidered it because, you know.
What?
I was going to say something else, but I reconsidered it. It would have been evil.
I'm sorry? No, we're losing. No, damn. Damn it all to hell. You see, and I even gave him time to ponder that.
He just seemed angry for no particular reason.
And not terribly bright. I gave him like 10 seconds. Seriously. I'm not trying to be mean to the caller after the fact. I'm not trying to be all Bob Grant about it. I'm just saying he had time. I gave him an extra 10 seconds to polish that joke. And to go back out of the woodshed and alter that joke however it needed. And then there was no joke. It was just a whole lot of, are you sure? All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, Dick Cheney has a blood clot in his leg.
Really?
This
should be a Cheney watch, shouldn't it?
I suppose it would.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's your Cheney watch. Which we mean in jest. For satiric purposes only. All right.
Dick Cheney has a blood clot in his left leg.
Oh, excuse me. Dick Cheney has a blood clot in his left leg.
He'll be treated with blood-thinning medication for several months. He visited his doctor's office after feeling minor discomfort in his calf. An ultrasound showed the blood clot, which is called a deep venous thrombosis. He returned to the White House after the medical exam and continued his workday. He knows he's going to get better.
I'm going to fix the problems of Walter Reed, period.
It's a ballooning weak spot in the artery that can burst at any time if left untreated.
Well, he'll need to eat many, many dozens of babies to overcome that problem.
Mm-hmm. He returned last week for an overseas trip, including stops in Afghanistan and Pakistan. He'll maintain his regular schedule, says his spokesperson. He feels fine.
Mm-hmm. All right, there you go. There's your Cheney watch for Monday on the Rick Emerson radio program.
Well, it's time for the Alien Abduction Workshop. It's going on in Laughlin, Nevada. Daryl Sims remembers when he was just a youngster in Midland, Texas, when he was kidnapped by aliens.
We're going to fix the problems of Walter Reed, period.
Best day ever.
Let's find the right timeline, shall we? He told about his extraterrestrial experience back when he was a boy in Texas.
It was pure white, had large black eyes, it was tall and spindly, as far as I was concerned, because I was only 4 years old. I noticed that the entity did not have any mammary glands, didn't have a belly button, didn't have genitalia.
What? Okay, what?
It was a spaceman without genitalia.
And the head had no mammary glands.
Yeah.
All right. You know, when somebody talks like that, don't you just know that there's something wrong with them? You know what I mean?
These people don't think so.
When somebody talks like in an overly clinical fashion like that, you know that there's something really kooky in their head. Do you ever talk to somebody like that where when they speak, it's like you're not really talking to a person. It's like you are talking to some sort of a speaking textbook. And you can just tell that there's something deeply, deeply broken inside of them. That's this guy.
Many of the procedures conducted on them by the aliens were extremely painful.
The fact is, there is a great deal of pain involved in this sort of thing. Many times the entities will tell you you won't remember or you won't feel this. But the fact is, people do remember it and they end up screaming as a result of their event.
All right, so he was 4?
Yes, abducted by aliens in Texas.
Abducted by aliens at 4. Aliens who were large white men who did things to him that were painful. Who wants to connect the dots? Anyone? Okay, it is the South, by the way. All right.
Texas is a southern state.
Uh-huh. Willie, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
I've got your weekend show. I'm in a wheelchair. I'm legally blind, and I'm left-handed.
Really?
Yes.
That's fantastic. I mean, less so for you, but that satisfies like 100 of our job requirements here.
Oh, no, dude. I've got 10 years broadcast experience. Hire me.
You have no idea how happy the Human Resources Department would be if that were the case. We wouldn't have to hire. We could just hire whoever we wanted for like the next 5 years. You would cover us on all bases, my friend.
It is the case. I'll put you in touch with my program director if you don't believe me.
No, I have no doubt. Actually, in fact, who was I talking to the other day? I was talking to John Paul, the guy who's the program director for KUPL, and he was
another fine CBS radio station.
Well done. Your tote board is going up, Willie. No, he was talking about the best radio engineer he ever knew, and I swear to God this is true. It sounds like a kooky story, but the best radio engineer he ever knew who was completely and totally blind. And he talked about the guy actually soldering things and like fixing circuit boards, and the guy was totally blind.
Doesn't surprise me a bit, personally.
I never really thought about it, but I guess there's no reason why he couldn't. So do you do a radio show somewhere?
Yeah, I work for a service called Golden Hours Radio that's part of Oregon Public Broadcasting. It's a radio reading service for blind and disabled folks.
Oh, see, and this is the kind of call that just makes me feel like an ass because I realize how little I do to make the world a better place.
Mm-hmm. I just complain about your chair or something again, right?
just complain about the fact that I've got like an ache in one of my toes. Well, do me a favor, my friend. I'm going to put you on hold, and you can either talk to Scotty or drop Nekka. I guess can you use the computer? You're blind, but they got computers for the blind and whatnot. So drop me an email.
I have a computer with speech on it, so, yeah.
Do you have one of those bitchin' Braille keyboards like they have in the movie Sneakers where, like, the little things go up and down underneath your fingers?
No, I actually never learned Braille. I'm just legally blind. I can actually see quite a lot for a blind man.
Let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
Now, even though you're legally blind and not, like, Stevie Wonder blind, I really do have to know this. Is it true that they, in fact, make a Braille version of Playboy? Do you know if that's true or is that just a gag?
In fact, my ex-fiance's mother was completely blind, and she subscribed to the Braille version of Playboy.
That is fantastic. I want to buy one of those just to have around.
I've never actually seen it, and I assume it's nothing but just pages of Braille. I'm sure there's no pictures. I personally have never seen the Braille version.
No, there's a joke there, but I'm not gonna stoop to make it.
Yeah.
All right, and Willie, drop me an email if you would.
Oh yeah, absolutely, rick@rickemerson.com.
Yes,
right?
Indeed, sir. Yes, sir.
Right on. I'll be in touch with you soon.
Thank you, my friend.
Bye.
There you go. That's Willie. Excellent. There you go. There's Willie right there. See? You never know who you're going to... That is the magic and the joy. And I mean this sincerely now, and Tim will back me up on this. That is the magic of talk radio. One never knows who one is going to hear from, who's going to be at the other end of the phone. All right, there you go. Let's all reflect on our own lives and the many blessings that the good Lord has given us.
Good night for too long because it's time for the Britney Watch.
Makes me all a quiver. Think I did it again. All right. Everything we're about to tell you comes out of the news right now. This is not fabricated. To the best of our knowledge, this is a real story as far as we know. This has been reported by numerous sources today. Everything that Tim Riley is about to read to you came out of a news source. Tim?
Britney Spears has flipped her lid in rehab, trying to hang herself with a bedsheet after screaming, "I am the Antichrist." She made the demonic cry after spelling the devil's number 666 across her head. Spears' manic behavior has concerned relatives, once again, for fear for her safety, and has staff at the Promises Clinic in Malibu struggling to cope. The former chart-topper's trouble was revealed in Britain's News of the World, which broke this exclusive story.
Let's just stop for a minute, and I just want to soak in this like it's some sort of a news jacuzzi.
She tried to hang herself with a bed sheet.
A new koozie. That sounds really profane. No, it's like some sort of a news marinate. I just want to, like, just drench myself in it. First of all, this story... You know what this story is like? This story, Britney Spears, and I don't get... Look, and I know we are accused of sometimes having a grim or morbid or nihilistic outlook on this program, and maybe that's true, maybe it's not.
It's true.
But that's only because life is ultimately meaningless, Tim, and without worth and merit. That's only because life is just a grim charade. And at the end, only the sweet release of the icy hand of death comes to take us out of this funhouse existence. So regardless of whether people think that we are too dark on this program or that we embrace the darker side of things, that may all be true. Maybe it's not. Whatever. I don't care what you think about what I'm about to say. But first of all, let me just take these thoughts in no particular order. First up, I have no sympathy for Britney Spears at all.
I don't either. So you squashed that.
Yeah, you call up and anybody's, but she tried to hang herself with a bed. She don't care. Don't care. Don't care.
That girl, if she really wanted to be dead, she'd be dead.
Yeah, it's just attention whoring.
She's tried so many times. Yeah, it's just pathetic.
That's all it is. You either kill yourself or don't kill. It's a binary proposition. You
oh, God.
You get one attempt.
You know what we're doing right now? We're making her actually kill herself.
She's not listening.
No, I know, but I'm saying that we're putting it out there, and she's going to kill herself, and we're going to be known as the people who are making fun of her killing her.
All right. Anyway, so my point is... So my point is, whatever. I don't care. That's the thing about Britney Spears. I just don't care. Because A, she's clearly not really going to kill herself. And B, or is this a cunning bit of reverse psychology on my part? And B, as Sarah pointed out, if she wanted to do it, like, you get one failed attempt, all right? You get one failed attempt, and the second time you try to kill yourself, you better be successful, or it's clear that you're just trying to get people to pay attention to you. And... Whatever. It's not like she's some high school kid reading Sylvia Plath and cutting herself. If Britney Spears has not had enough attention paid to her, she's never going to get enough attention paid. How much more? There is no more attention. You've got all the attention.
Mm-hmm.
There's no more to get. So, you know, this isn't it. Secondly, this story, and we're going to read it again like five more times. And then I'm going to play the Hillary Clinton and everything, and we're going to play this again, and read the Hillary Britney thing again. That she would try to hang herself with a bed sheet, that she would write 666 on her head and shout, what is it you shouted, Tim?
I am the Antichrist.
This story is so good that it's like my brain can't even process it.
So bald Britney Spears is running around rehab with a 666 written on her head, screaming about being the Antichrist.
And then trying to hang herself with a bed sheet.
Probably something, probably wearing something that looks like a cape because she had the fail.
I wonder if she was doing it like sort of a bad Count Dracula. I am the Antichrist.
I wonder what she wrote 666 with.
I don't know. I was thinking it's some sort of maybe a crayon. There's something, some sort of a dull soft tip marker. A what?
A Sharpie?
With a lipstick? What do you...
No. How... Come on. What do you think... What do you think the number one thing that would make that story more gold?
Oh, no. You're not saying that she wrote with poo.
She probably isn't allowed... You know, she's in rehab and she's attempted suicide. She probably isn't allowed a lot of, like, sharp and pointy objects. Like, she probably isn't allowed pens.
And she's probably eating a lot of greasy food.
And lipstick?
Can I take it one step further?
Oh, God.
Can I, please?
Okay.
You're saying that she wrote this with poo. Where this is a news story, by the way. We're not making these comments in our capacity as journalists. Right here. Here's the thing. Did you ever think that we would be reading a story about Britney Spears having... She's in a mental asylum. I mean, that they can call it rehab, but she's in a mental hospital. Did you ever think we would be reading a story about Britney Spears in a mental hospital, shaving her head, writing 666, and screaming, I am the Antichrist? I mean, for the love of God. You're speculating that clearly they're not giving her pens and paper. So Sarah said she wrote with poo. I'm saying... Perhaps she wrote 666 with her womanly expulsion.
Oh, good Lord.
Oh, why is that worse than poo? You tell me right now why that's worse.
I don't know the answer to that question.
That's what I'm saying. Port in a storm, and poo's not... You use what's handy. You use what's there. Look, life gives you lemons. What? Life gives you a chunky day?
Your natural pen.
it is nature's crayon, Sarah.
God. Things that come out of your mouth.
It's a black cherry day. The thing about this Britney Spears story, I am now regretting we didn't just say this at the top of the show and then like every 10 minutes thereafter. It really is like this Britney saying I am the Antichrist is the new, isn't that right, donkey? It is the new donkey cohabitation story. This Britney Spears story, And I know this may seem like a strange analogy, but it's true. This Britney Spears story is a lot like, and every guy has had this experience, and if not, you will. I don't know if women have this experience, but every guy has had this. Every guy has had the experience where you have, through some quirk of fate, through some twist of fate, you have found yourself, whether for one night or for several nights, in the biblical company of a woman that was so hot you had no business being with her. Every guy's had that happen to him or will at some point in his life, where you either get one night and it never lasts. It's either one night or, but it's always for a short period of time, where you wake up or not even wake up, where it's like, you know, you are perhaps at, it's at that night and you're there and you look over and you're like, you're with a girl that is so hot and just so that you can't believe it. And in your head you're going, this can't really be happening. And you're doing your best to make like a perfect mental, like a video of it in your head so you can always remember, because you know it's never going to happen again. And you know that you have lucked out, or that she's blind in one eye or something, or that, you know, you will never again be with a woman this hot, and it never should have happened in the first place, and you can't. And so even as it is happening, you can't believe it. Like, even as you're with this incredibly hot girl, you can't process it. So you're attempting to enjoy the encounter, and in your head, though, you're like, there's no way I'm with this girl. She's way too hot. There's no way this can be taking place. That's how this Britney story is for me. This Britney story is so good, I can't even get my head around it while it's happening, and I wish I could just sit back and enjoy the Britney story, but it's like, it's so big and so great, I can't even process it. And we've got all these calls about it.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Like, it is so wonderful, but your mind cannot picture a bald Britney Spears running around with poo on her head.
I am the Antichrist!
I am the Antichrist!
Or whatever, in that stupid southern accent.
God.
I can't fathom it. It's so unbelievable. Let's take a couple of these. Kevin, hello, sir.
Hey. I'm just curious how on one hand you can say that I can't remember the lady that was, you know, calling someone up.
This is a buzzkill call, is it? This is a killjoy.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, it is funny that Britney's doing it in a sense, but on one hand to say, oh, this woman's bad because she called, you know, one person a faggot, but then to sit there and laugh at Britney, I mean, how are you better than that other lady?
Well, because I'm not in rehab with a shaven head and I haven't slurred anybody recently. Next.
Yeah.
That's your answer. The question, that's your answer.
Well, I think, you're still doing the same thing that, you know.
How so? No, I'm really not. We are reporting, to the best of our knowledge, what are facts about Britney Spears.
And laughing about it, too.
Yes. Yes, I am.
All right, good. See ya.
Did you not have anything to actually add? Is there going to be no actual substance to this call?
No, how about not today, thanks.
Yeah, okay, I'm sure you'll be brilliant next time. Okay.
7 minutes?
Seriously, you'll never get those minutes back, sir. I don't care, whatever. Dude, I guess he thought he was going to make me feel like a bad person. Like, there are real issues to talk about. No, I mean, there are, but not at this moment. You know why? Because Britney Spears is running around calling herself the Antichrist.
We're here to solve the problems of the community.
Yeah, seriously, I'm sorry.
Together, we'll find solutions.
Somebody who works at that rehab facility is soulless, and they're a bastard, and they totally took pictures of it, and they're going to sell them to the Inquirer.
And we'd like to say God bless you, whoever you are. God bless you, sir. All right, Kevin, number two. Hey, Kevin, number two.
Hey. I think Sarah's a little mistaken. That would be the number two thing that would make the story better.
That's funny. That's funny.
And he's out.
Yeah, so see, and he knows out on top there. You know, it goes out on top. He knows how to go out on the left. All right, 503-733. Well, I mean, it sounds like a dick, but I mean, seriously, call up. I mean, why are you making... Who would call up and say, why are you making fun of Britney Spears? Really, if you don't understand why this is the best story ever, it can't be explained.
Well, and I did feel guilty for a while there, but then she keeps on going. Why can't she just stay in rehab like a quiet person?
Seriously.
And get over her addictions? Instead, she's running around like a crazy woman.
Yeah, and by the way, I think we knew all we needed to know about that caller when he said, what makes you better than Ann Coulter? Really, if one has to ask what makes us better than Ann Coulter, I'm just saying, those correspondence courses are always there, my friend. It's 503-733-2970. Oh, it's so late.
So late.
Well, let's come back and do the Britney Spears story again as though we haven't read it once. Okay.
And then can we do the donkey story, too?
Yes, we can. And then I'll play the Hillary Clinton thing again. It's just going to be best of, even though we're here. I love this show. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We return with Tim Riley. Later, Peter Carlin. Like us at 3, Dynamike at 7. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Here's Midtown.
I feel like this place, won't you close the door? I'm